holiday. And for the 2 weeks I think I was there, we were basically ministering. From church to church, house to house, cell groups, home groups, praying for people, baby dedications and other stuff. And so by the time we came back, I was really tired. And I had to go straight into 1 week of teaching at the Youth Intermission School in Otoka. And so I finished on Friday. I was thinking, man, you know, Lord, I need you. I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? What you were telling me? Pastor, just do a summary of your week's teaching at YWAM.
Oh, yeah.
In the Youth Intermission. Just do a week summary. I said, no, 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 I don't want that. I want to have a fresh message. And I have a message for the people. And I was sleeping one day. What day I got up? I think I got up at about 3 or 4. About 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, about 4 something. And Lord just began to just bring something to my spirit. And I just want to share that with you. I had a scripture the previous night that just, you know, just being impressed upon me. When I woke up the next morning, it's like this began to come through. Mm-hmm. That scripture came through the previous night. I just prepared something. But when the Lord brought this thing to me about the same scripture, I just chucked up whatever I prepared. And I wrote out whatever he said. That same morning I got up and I just started writing out what he showed.
Junior, louder.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This was on I think Saturday morning. You know, I was that desperate Saturday morning. Normally I'm prepared by Wednesday, Thursday or something. I'm really getting into it by Friday and, you know, got it all. And so I start practicing. But this time I was like desperate for a message, and God just came through so well. And so I want to speak about doing all God's will. And so I want us to look at this scripture. Acts 13:22. Just give me a little volume, please. I don't want it so close. You know, Acts 13:22, it says, when he had removed him, he raised him up. He raised up for them David has came, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Notice that little phrase, do all of my will. Do all of my will. You know, and I don't want this morning to come across as being, you know, down on you guys or something like that. But I just want to emphasize, doing all of God's will, not some, not pick and choose, but all of God's will. And you know, in today's society, today's world, it's so easy for us to have, you know, so many choices, especially when you walk into a supermarket. They're supposed to make things easier, but they make it harder for you, because they put more choices than what you're used to. So you don't really know which one to pick. And so sometimes we bring that into our walk with God, and we start to pick and choose what we like to do of God's will and what we don't like to do of God's will. But the thing I liked about David was that he chose to do all of God's will. And I love that about this man. He did all of God's will. But the thing is, with this verse, you notice that it says, I said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And I can see that there is a direct connection between a man after my heart and all of God's will. So if I put it this way, I really believe that David did all of God's will because his heart was for God. His heart was touched by God. He had a heart-to-heart relationship with God. You know, David was a man that was that did things from his heart. Paul wrote to the, I think it was the Roman church, and he said, I thank God that you obeyed, you know, the form of righteousness delivered to you from your heart. You know, and that's, I believe, was David's secret, was that he did things willingly from his heart. And that's something I want to challenge each one of you. If you know me, know me by now, I love to challenge people. You know, whether you can duck or not, you know, I love this challenge in you. So I hope you don't duck so much this morning. You don't have to squirm, you know, you don't have to move around so much on your seat. Just stay put and let the word of God touch you this morning. Amen? Because God wants us to be people after his heart. People, you know, there's two kinds of ways that we can obey God's will. We can do all of God's will. Did you know all of us can do all of God's will? But you know, there's two kinds of ways we can do all of God's will that will determine whether or not God is pleased with us. And it is something I can simply say, we can do all of God's will, either want to do God's will or have to do all of God's will. So we are in either camp. You know, we can be the kind of Christian that wants to do it or we have to do it. And my encouragement to the church is, let's be people who want to do God's will. Amen, everyone. I was telling the church in New Zealand when I was preaching, I said, you know, in Fiji, we really say, praise the Lord, and the people in Fiji say, amen. You know, so they had to, we just ran a few practice sessions. So by the time I finished, they were saying, amen, amen. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You're in the Pentecostal church, so you say, amen, okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because when I was preaching in New Zealand, they were very quiet and stately and everything. And the pastor said, no, on the South Island, we are very, you know, proper people. We are quiet. So I tried to disturb the quietness, you know. I said, we're not in a, you know, we're in a Pentecostal church. So I'm going to make all of you Pentecostals. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And so there's a big difference between wanting to do something and having to do it because it's your duty, it's my duty, or it's because I'm, you know, daddy, mommy tells me to do it, or because I'm, you know, pastor expects me to do it or something, so I have to do it. I want to be the kind of Christian that David shows us. I want to be the kind of Christian that wants to do something for God. And there's a big difference. I mean, can you imagine a husband that knows that his wife loves him or does things for him or stays with him because she has to? Or do you think the husband will love his wife and be pleased because his wife wants to be with him, wants to spend time with him? What do you think of a wife that has a husband that she knows wants to be with her, wants to spend time with her, not have to spend time with her? What do you guys think? You guys agree? Don't you want to have a husband that wants to spend time with you? Or do you want a husband that is almost forced to spend time with you just to keep the marriage running? You know, I've got to take you out for a date night because this is good for marriage, so I have to do this and I have to do this. Do you want to be with that kind of man? I mean, I know you have to be with that kind of man because you said I do, right? That means his wife is threatening you, you know? And you want to be with a man that takes you out because he loves you and he wants to spend time with you. He has a desire to spend time with you, right? You want to be with a wife that makes you that cup of tea, not because you're forcing her to make you a cup of tea. Come on, darling, make me a cup of tea. No, I want to make a cup. No, you've got to make me a cup of tea or something. And so she goes and reluctantly makes you a cup of coffee or tea. No. You want to be a husband that, you know, the wife just comes, here's your tea, honey, you know, mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Here's your coffee, honey, mm-hmm. Wow, you know, the coffee tastes so much better. You know, can you imagine that you know the coffee's, you know, grudgingly made, you know, would you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of you men will still enjoy it, I know. But, you know, I like a coffee that is lovingly brewed, lovingly made, you know, even if it doesn't have, you know, the kind of milk I like, doesn't have all the sugary stuff. You know, I just love it. You know, Queen comes and she puts a cup of coffee. And I didn't have to tell her to do it. She comes and she puts it. I enjoy the coffee more. I enjoy the tea more. Amen? Amen, everybody. Wouldn't you parents love children that does their housework without complaining? Come on, parents. Yes? And I can tell you, Julian knows our system at home, so he hardly complains. But wouldn't you love to have kids that just love to do the housework, that love to do the washing of dishes? Kids, are you happy? We all love to have people around us that wants to be And when I want to be a pastor that has a team that wants to be on our team, amen? That wants to serve the vision of this church, a multiracial vision, that wants to see the lost one. I want to see that. I don't want to have a church that, you know, I have to push them to go to the Lord, push them to share their blessing. No. It's not about that. It's about that. You know, I have a heart after God, amen? I want to do it. I want to serve God. I want to be part of it, amen? That's what God wants. You see, God blessed David. He blessed him. He gave him riches. He blessed him with sons on the throne of Israel for many generations. Even Jesus is from the lineage of David. You know, God loved his heart. And you know, when you have a heart like that, there's nothing God won't do for you. You know, God will restore. God gives favor. God is just going to move on your heart. Because God looks for the heart. You know, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, you know what the Bible says? Let's just look there. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and in verse 9. Now you both found it? Right? Otherwise I'll just read it. Eh? It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Wow. In, you know, and this is what God is looking. He says, the eyes of the Lord is running around the earth, looking for the person whose heart is perfect towards him. You know, Samuel told Saul this, and he said, you know, God doesn't look at the outward behavior, but he looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. And that's what God wants. God wants, you know, people with a heart for him, people with a compassion for him. You know, 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. You know, this is what it says. We love him. Why do we love God? Everybody, why do we love God? Because he first loved us. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Wow. While we were yet sinners, he died for me. I was lost. I was wicked. I was a scoundrel, you might say. I was doing so many wrong things. But yet he loved enough to die on the cruel cross. He was rejected by everyone. And he died on that cross so that I might have life. Wow. I don't love him because I am forced to love him. I love him because he first loved me. And he gave everything on the cross for me. He gave his very life. Therefore, what is my life compared to that? I want to serve him for the rest of my life. Amen. And I believe God is looking for a church like this. And it is talking about a heart of gratitude. You know, David loved God because God just blessed him. When he faced Goliath, he saw the hand of God. When he went and hid from Saul in the caves, he saw the hand of God. You know, there was nothing David wouldn't do for God because he was so grateful for what God was doing for his life. And I am grateful. I tell you, I am so grateful. And I know a lot of you are grateful. Amen. A lot of you are grateful about what God is doing. And you know, that's what the Bible says, is that David was careful to do all of God's will. And that's what gratitude does. Gratitude is about, you know, coming to the place where we just want him to please him. We want to put a smile on his face. And I know God loves us. I know God cares for us. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't love you. He wants to smack you over the head. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. You know, we should come to the place where we're so grateful for what God has done that we just want to please him. Amen? No one has to push us to please him. We just want to do it. We just want to put a smile on God's face. That's the kind of heart that God wants. Put a smile on his face. You know, and that means, you know, anything we can do for God, if we know this is his will, we want to do it. Amen? During the week, I was sharing a testimony with the Wyoming guys. I was teaching the students there. And you know, during the teaching, I brought in an illustration. I didn't realize this. But it was a distorted illustration. I brought something from this year to this year, and I mixed the illustration together, and I shared the illustration, everyone was blessed, and I came home. While I was coming home, the Holy Spirit corrected me. You know, when you look at it, you know, it looks like nothing. You know, you just say, well, it's really nothing, you know, nothing. But for me, I knew the Holy Spirit really wanted correction in that particular illustration. It wasn't, you know, I didn't mean to sort of, you know, bring this from this here and mix it with this one and share it. It was just because it was some time ago. So when I brought you through, the timing of these things were a little bit distorted, and the Holy Spirit corrected me. So I knew what He wanted me to do. He wanted me to go back to where I am and tell all the students that I had distorted or I had put things in the wrong place. You know, maybe some people might think it's a small issue, but for me, I knew in my heart, God saw it was well for. It might have been small, but God was looking at me. So I knew this is it. I went back, I shared something, and I reminded them of my story. And I corrected myself. Amen. When I corrected myself, I felt God's pleasure. You know, it's not that God didn't love me or anything, but it's just, you know, sometimes we think something is so small, so we shrug it off. You know, and we say, oh, that's not important. I worry about the big things, the big things. We don't realize, you know, God is walking with us. You know, it's like a personal, intimate relationship with us. And it's like, when I walk with my wife, you know, sometimes it's not the big things that trouble me. It's the small things. And I know for her, it's not the big things in my life that please her or trouble her. It's the small things. And so sometimes, you know, I just need to get things right, you know? You know what I'm saying? I hope you can understand me. You know, it's so important for us to want to do all of God's will. It's not because He's going to punish us or something. It's because it's a heart of gratitude. You know, whatever's God done for me is not enough. That, you know, whatever I've done is not enough that I can ever repay. But whatever I do, I want to do it well. I want to do it for God. I want to do it with all my heart. And no one has to, you know, force me to go to church on a Sunday morning. No one has to force me to give. I want to do it because I want to bless Him. Amen? I want to do it. Nobody has to force me to go, you know, sometimes with the mission team on Wednesday. You know, I want to do it because you know, what He's done for me cannot be measured in terms of money or anything. I want to do it. Amen. And so, I hope I'm not boring you this morning. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Amen. We're going to do everything that we can do for God. In the Bible, there's a lady in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 and 44. It tells us of a lady the Bible calls a sinner. She's actually a prostitute. Now, it actually tells us that one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Then he says, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When, you know, that is like a polite way of saying she was a prostitute. Okay, she was a sinner. Then he says, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. It is believed that that alabaster box contained expensive perfume. Then he says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Here is a woman who is a prostitute. The Bible calls her a sinner. She comes to Jesus, and notice what she does. She begins to wash his feet with her tears. She feels this great emotion. I believe it's an emotion of love, a response to the love of God. She feels this love that comes from Christ. She knows she's forgiven, and she comes with all this expression. She's weeping because she wants to do everything she has in her being for Jesus. And the thing she knows to do is wash his feet. Because Jesus walked into this Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee did not wash his feet as supposed to be the custom. A Pharisee didn't wash Jesus' feet. A prostitute comes and washes his feet because she feels forgiven. And she cries, and his tears drop down to his feet. He's inclined at me. In those days, you sort of incline with your feet at the back, and you eat it, you know? And so Jesus' feet is inclined, and he looks at this sinner, you know, this prostitute comes, and she's weeping, because she's forgiven. You know what else she does? She takes her hair. Her hair is symbolic of her trade. Her hair is one of the main things she uses to attract and seduce men. And so with this beautiful hair that is used in the trade of seduction, she takes this and she surrenders it to Jesus. It's like she's saying, Jesus, whatever you've done for me, I can never repay you. But the best thing I can do for you is give up my lifestyle and I give it all at your feet. And she washes his feet with her tears. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? She is weeping and she's using the very thing of her trade, and she surrenders it to Christ to do something for me. And she washes his feet. And then she takes the alabaster box, alabaster flask with this expensive perfume and anoints his feet as well. She pours out this expensive perfume. There's no discussion about how costly it is, whether she's wasting it, whether she has to buy another one. She doesn't worry about that. All she knows is this. She's at Jesus' feet, and whatever she does is not enough. She wants to do everything she has right now. Everything she has. She's not going to search which one is the $10, which one is the $20, which one is the $2 to put in the offering. She doesn't search like that. She takes whatever she's got and she gives it to Jesus because she wants to do it for Christ. She feels forgiven. She's grateful. She has gratitude. Amen. How many of you in this room are much better off than what you were before you met Christ? How many of you in this room? Honestly, how many of you in this room? Some of you? For all of you. All of you, right? Some of you are still shy about putting up your hand. But you know, I am so grateful. All of you are so grateful. How do you show your gratitude to God? By being a want-to-heart kind of Christian. We want to do it. No one has to force you to do it. Amen? You want to do it for God. You want to give him that expensive, perfume. You want to, give him the skills of your trade. You want to take that skill, and wash his feet. Give him your emotions. Give him your life. Why? Because you are so grateful for whatever he's done for you. You know, the pastor that I went and preached with first in Christchurch, Pastor Paul, he's been here, I think in March, and he's coming with another team in July sometime. Beginning of July. I went to his church, and he's been in that church. He took over a struggling church, and it's still a small church, and he took it over, and the church is starting to grow now, but it's still pretty small in comparison to all of our, when we're all here. But, but he's struggling, and he's only paid four days in every week, but he works 7 days. He's a successful farm manager. He only used to share farming, meaning like he looks after the farm and he gets a percentage of the profits. That was before he became a full-time pastor. He was very successful in that area, earning a lot of money, but he gave that all up to become a full-time pastor. Gets paid 4 days a week, he works 7 days. His wife has to support him by working. If you ask him, Pastor Paul, why did you do it? Why don't you go back to share farming? It's much easier for you. I mean, it's hard work, but you get a lot more money. I mean, dairy farming in New Zealand is quite profitable. You know, why did you do it? I sat with him, I think, a couple of times, and he told me, he said, when my son was very small, he's got three children, two boys and one girl, he said, when one of my sons, Josh, I think it was Josh or the other one, was very small, he said, my son got cancer. Bad, severe cancer. And he said, my son was admitted to this ward. There was over 20, 30, maybe even 40 kids in that ward. He said, we went to chemo, we took him to chemo day after day, on a regular basis. We went through all the pain of that, went through all those things. We prayed and we sought the Lord and every other kind of thing. He said, out of all those kids in that ward, all of them, regrettably, all of them passed away except my son. He said, my son is alive today by the grace of God. And he said, my son is now a healthy young man. He works for a bank, finished his commerce degree, works in a bank, he's happily married now, he's a worship leader in the main city. Amen. If you ask him today, Pastor Paul, why do you serve in the ministry? Why do you sacrifice? For me, it's a hard thing. If you pay me only 4 days a week, I don't know if I'll work in the church. I will really have to pray. But I pray I can be like Pastor Paul. Of course, I left my full-time employment and, I had to sacrifice a lot. But I mean to say, And if you ask him today, Pastor, why did you do it? Because he wants to. Because he's so grateful for what he's done. Amen. After Christ Church, we went down to Chicago. There's this big guy. He's big and he's English. To make it worse, he's English. Sorry. He's big and he's got tattoos all over his arms. Tattoos. You know how he comes to church? He wears a bowler kind of shirt, some kind of, you know, shirt like this. Not like this. Very colorful kind of shirt, and he wears a earring. I mean, if he came to my church 20 years ago, I wouldn't be able to let him preach. But now I've been delivered from the spirit of religion. Anyway, I went to his church, and here's this big guy. He's not paying wages. He's planted the church for 3 years now in a poor poverty area of Invercargill. We finished Christ Church, we come down to Invercargill, and we're going to preach that morning. We visit with him, and he doesn't get wages from his church. His wife has to go out and work to support him. For 3 years, no wages. If you ask him today, why do you pastor this church? And you don't get any wages. You know who are the main members in this church? All the ex-druggies and all these people. They can't pay any wages. He's not paying any wages. But he does it because he wants to. He loves the Lord. And if you ask him today, why do you do it? Pastor Colin, you know what he tell you? I was a gangster. I was involved in the dark things of this world. I even stabbed a man, both of his hands, and stabbed him to the table. I did terrible things in my past, and I'm not proud of it. But God lifted me out of the dark days and gave me hope for my people. If you ask him today, do you have to pastor? He would say no. I don't have to, but I want to. Why are you here this morning? Do you have to be here or do you want to be here? Amen? God is calling all of us to be a man like David. A man after God's own heart who will do all that's up because we have to do it of all of God's will because we want to do it. You know, I can't tell each one of you. I don't even know the things God has done for you, but if I had a clipboard and a pen and I listed up all the things God did for you, I tell you, I mean the list will go on and on and on. We don't even realize what God does for you. I mean, does for us. Sometimes even while we sleep, God does things for us. We can't count His blessings. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's be the generation of the 1-2 generation. Amen? Let's not be the generation of the half-2 generation. Go to church. You know, worship the Lord. Give your tithe. Let's be the 1-2 generation that wants to serve God. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, Daddy, let's go to church. Come on, Mommy, let's go to church.
Amen? 1-2 generation.
We want to do it. Because God saved me. We want to do it. Because God changed the quality of life. Maybe we don't have much money, but the quality of life matters. God changed the quality of life. He gave us hope for the future. How much more can we say? I want to do it for you. Till my dying breath, I want to serve you. I want to do it for you. I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart. I want to do all of God's will. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for the people who are with us this morning. Father, we pray, God, that you will begin to do a new work in our hearts and in our lives. Your word says in Psalms 110 verse 3, that your people shall be willing, not have to, but willing, in the hour of your power. This is the hour of the power of the Son of God. Help us to be willing Christians. Help us not to be have-to Christians. Father, I pray, God, that you will transform this church. Transform our hearts from within, O God. That even as leaders of this church, we will not have to push people to do things for the kingdom. Father, we will not have to look for volunteers. We'll not have to call out announcement after announcement, begging and pleading for people to do anything for the King. But Father, people will just be so willing. People will just so want to, because they are grateful for what God has done. Transform our thinking, our attitudes. Help us to be, to have a want-to attitude. Father, thank you so much for this time. None of us are perfect, but I thank you that we can still please you. I know you love us so much, but help us never to take that love for granted. Help us always to serve you well. We commit this church once again to you, and we once again pray for everyone. We pray a blessing, and we pray, God, that even as people go home today, that you will continue to bless them, continue to encourage them, continue to have your hand upon their lives. Let your Holy Spirit bring a refreshing touch upon their spirit. God, we thank you. We commit the rest of this time into your hands. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming.